Well, Callum, it was another ugly, disgusting, and quite frankly, unbelievable, if not predictable, weekend in Scottish football. And that was just Aberdeen not scoring a goal.
Wait, that's good. You told me you had something. I liked that. I like that. Lots of adjectives. Very, very good. You're just putting that private education to good work there. Well done.
Yeah, it was indeed. Yeah. I know, just, you know, the Rangers fans like to tune in now and again. So just in case I thought we were maybe going to give them a bit of attention. But no, I think we should kind of keep things in-house because we've got our own problems to deal with.
Oh, yeah. Way, way more than enough of our own problems. I'm wearing a hat after all.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you've got some quite significant problems for those that follow Callum on social media. You know, you made a few statements that you wanted that, you know, about political wise, and you've maybe dyed your hair and taken it a bit too far, have you?
The politics ones, I am definitely serious. I will be running for first minister and I've got a lot of rules that I'll implement. Hashtag both votes Callum right in the comments down below, please. I have taken the Steve Tosh comments about Perry Patterson to heart. However, unfortunately, it wasn't real. It was a ruse. It was a ruse. It was all still work. But you're here now. You've tuned into the video to see it. So it's maybe it's worked. And it's probably a good thing that I didn't do it, because of all the comments, only one of them was positive. The rest were, what the fuck have you done, basically. So, but maybe not the best thing. Maybe I shouldn't do it.
And I'm still laughing at Chidiang Mukali's tweet saying, I know you wanted to emulate Nicola Sturgeon, but you didn't need to try and look like her.
Yeah, so it's Perry Patterson and Nicola Sturgeon in the last like couple of weeks, so I wonder what's going to be next. However, though, Glenn, this is our first show recording since we hit the big 300 subscribers, so we will be doing the live watch-along. Michael has agreed to come on for the Hibs game after the split. And depending on how that goes, we might do more between now and the end of the season. I mean, I've sprung that on Glenn. But subscribe and notifications on as well, if you're not already, so you don't miss out on those things. And follow us wherever else you tune in as well.
Yeah, and just want to kind of echo Callum's thoughts about those of you that have subscribed. Just a thanks to those of you that have shown support to the show, especially those of you that tweeted us at RTG_podcast at full time to say good luck pulling a review together. Because, you know, it is just the same turgid display week in, week out, and we're doing our best. And we've got a kind of funny idea at the end of the show. So if you do want to stay with us that long, then yeah, we hope you enjoy that. But I suppose, Callum, we should get into yet another disaster.
Yeah, I'd say disaster is the one word to use it. It's just the same thing over and over again, isn't it? We're struggling to come up with any new ideas that will perhaps make the shows entertaining, because the football is not entertaining and they're clearly struggling with ideas as well. And it's just the same old, same old. I got myself excited as well in the build up to it. I thought, come on, like, surely we'll maybe score a goal, at least one. Nope.
And, you know, we should probably warn Fraser Wallace, given he found our review very grim with some of the pre-match stats. Well, Fraser didn't get much better in the review episode, that's for sure. And, you know, you got yourself excited thinking we would score one. I was the one that said 3-0 for my pre-match prediction. How stupid do I look now?
I was going to say, for once it from our shows, it's you that looks like the idiot, not me. It's a change. It's a change.
Yeah, this episode's not finished yet, so there's still time for you to drag you down.
More than enough time.
Yeah, and especially if, you know, the watch-along comes around the way we're going, it could be very entertaining if Hibs decide to keep the battle for third place interesting.
Mm-hmm. They're doing their best to let us back in, but we're just saying, nah, it's all right, don't worry about it.
Yeah, and as Red TV will tell you, it was a point gained on Hibs, but I think we've got bigger things to be worried about than gaining on Hibs, because you really can't view that Hibs result in a positive manner, because we didn't win, and that's really the best way to take advantage of teams above you dropping points.
That's a very good opportunity as well. Hamilton without Agumpo and Anderson, and we still didn't even take advantage of it. And Bruce Anderson would have scored 3, I've no doubt about it, for us. Or for them, he probably could have as well. Who knows?
Yeah,
we're that bad.
I was just going to say, a game that badly needed Bruce Anderson. How how times have changed.
Exactly. For entertainment value, if nothing else as well.
Yeah, it's just, you know, and actually if Fraser is still listening at this point, I'm going to use his message that was circulated on probably various WhatsApp chats and made its way as a screenshot onto social media and on Twitter. That's Aberdeen. After Saturday, we've now gone 1 goal in 9 games, 5 goals in 13, 2 wins in that 13. Mm-hmm. That's quite worrying stats. Some may say relegation worthy. And over the course of a season, that would emulate to 6 wins out of your 38 games and just 15 goals.
Yeah, it's very damning. Very, very damning. So those 5 goals have come, that's all we've had in now over 2 months in 2021. How terrible is that? I mean, it's going to go on a bit more because we've got not only this little break, we've got a free weekend, playing Dundee United after, so that's nailed on 0-0. Can't wait for
team
that.
Team we haven't scored against this season.
Exactly, that's very, very concerning. And they've not exactly been great either. So it's all very, very depressing.
Yeah, depressing is a good word. And for more depressing stats, I will give you.
Oh, I can't wait.
1,013 minutes since Matty Kennedy last scored and a goal from open play for Aberdeen in the 2-1 defeat to Rangers. And a quite staggering 1,406 minutes since Curtis Main scored against Ross County on the 12th of December. That was the last time an Aberdeen striker scored from open play. So by the next time we play, that will be 3 months since a striker scored from open play.
I think we got excited on the last day of the transfer window when we just sort of had a complete full change. The fact Curtis Main has scored for us, left to join Shrewsbury in England, and has now scored for them as well. It's very, very worrying. And someone, I can't remember, forgive me, who said on Twitter, I think it was actually Ross Peddy, he said, like, what the hell, if anything, are they working on in training? Like, it just doesn't look like there's no pattern to play, no idea, no identity. It's just not enjoyable at all. I don't know why I bother getting myself up for it and excited as if anything's going to change. It's not.
Yeah, and it's actually, I don't know if I was actually going to bring up the training in the podcast, but now that you mention it, I'm just going to discuss it just now because it is a good point, especially in the attacking sense of our play, which is very lacking just now and very poor. We've got a 2-week break. Mm-hmm. How often do you think we'll see that team at Cormac Park?
Oh, goodness me, I don't know. It should be everyday double sessions working on anything and everything. Thing is, another thing, when teams are struggling to score, usually they go, okay, set pieces, that's something we can take advantage of. Bloody hell, how bad are our set pieces? They are horrendous.
We're now heavily relying on an Ash Taylor long throw to try and be something creative.
And I think the closest we've come from Ash Taylor long throw is him hoying it and it almost bouncing in, which wouldn't have counted anyway because it's not touched anyone, but that's actually the closest we've come.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, it wasn't the first half, it wasn't for the want of trying. It's almost like we're just trying not to score just now because a player we built up in the pre-match preview, Flo Camberi, of this being the perfect opportunity to break his Aberdeen duck, he got it and just totally fluffed his lines.
Actually, it's like a comedy sketch at this rate, isn't it?
That the end to that move was a comedy sketch in itself.
We've become like a parody of ourselves. Okay, first of all, Flo Camberi 100% should bury it. I'm completely aboard that. Second of all, though, Niall McGinn in the first place, years gone by, we see him go himself, maybe even round the keeper there. But he's cut it back, and Falkenberry's lucky to even get the ball because one of their defenders missed it. It's so bad. Just take it on and have a go. And then, to be fair, my weekend didn't get any better because then Joe Linton bloody did the same thing later on. I'm taking no enjoyment in watching football whatsoever these days.
And I think that's the worst thing. And again, we're going to come on to that later on in the show about the enjoyment factor. But it's a point you make about McGinn. The ball to Camberi in the first place was pretty poor, and it gave Camberi a lot of work. Yes, Canberra should be burying that chance ultimately. Mm-hmm. But he needs a better ball. Give him or go yourself, McGinn. But I think it's a sign of how little confidence is currently in this team, mm-hmm. and how desperate they are to get some confidence into the strike force.
You know, confidence is bad when even Niall McGinn won't have a shot on goal like that. Because that man loves cutting in and shooting, and he's not done it there.
He loves a cutback, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. Now, I said the stats were depressing. I've not finished them yet. You're right. Here we go again. So, at @in_ludo_veritas on Twitter, put up a poll asking how many goals we'd scored in our last 100 games in all competitions. Do you want to hazard a guess?
100 games.
All competitions.
In all competitions. We must be averaging a goal a game, surely. But, so 100 games. I would say we're averaging a goal a game. About 100. Is it less?
No, it's more.
Oh,
it's
a little bit more. That's good. I think maybe I went a little bit below on that. Okay, maybe 113 is my guess.
Ricky Mackey, he had that guess. It's 133.
Okay. It's a bit over a goal a game, but it's not great when you can, all things considered, is it?
Which he has done, he broke it down. 10% of those goals have come in matches against Kilmarnock, who are currently bottom of the table.
All right, okay. I wonder how many of them are penalties as well.
And also, well, you do have to consider that there was the cup game will be in there. That, you know, we did score four against them. So it is, like I said, it is, you know, a bit mixed. And, you know, he said for an unfair comparison, Bayern Munich have scored the same amount in their last 44 games.
44 games. Bloody hell. Another one, again, I'm sorry to mention this, thought we said we weren't going to. Rangers have only conceded 9 goals all season as well. That is mental, but that is, I can't believe how bad we really are. When you put it like that, it's terrible. When you're lucky to get like a goal a game.
Yeah, and I've got two more for you. One that I saw this morning from Martin Stone on Twitter. We've now scored this season in our 32 league games. Do you want to have a guess at that?
I would say maybe we are averaging about a goal a game for that. I would say, is it the one we've scored a goal a game?
It's correct. We're sitting at 32 goals in 32 league games, which is currently sitting as the club's fourth lowest post-war total.
And that remember McGee, though?
Yes.
Sorry, well remember done. Mark McGee? I mean, come on.
We're coming to that. So it's currently the fourth behind... In the season 11-12 under Craig Brown, we managed 29.
Oh, that's good.
In season 09-10 under Mark McGee, you've said, 30 goals were managed. And in 02-03 season, which was a mix of Ebbie Skovdal and Pelle, or yourself, is 31.
So can we just, for anyone who may say, everyone's entitled to their own opinion, etc. Very, very well, But if you say, remember McGee, we'd have scored two less goals under Vlomenek. I mean, come on. It's not great, is
And Martin concludes his research by saying we need 4 goals in the rest of the season to avoid our worst ever goal per game ratio in a season. But remember McGee.
I mean, to be fit, what's there, 6 games left? And right now we're averaging a goal a game. So... it'll be very touch and go, especially when one of the games is Dundee United and then you've got Celtic Rangers play again.
Yeah, and you look at Benjamin Seagrass' performance at the weekend for Dundee United. You've mentioned how many or how few goals Rangers have conceded so far this season. That then takes you to 4 games, you know.
And then one of them, Celtic, they can probably start playing freely now that it's done. And that's how we often see. And then they'll probably put 9 past us again. Oh, dear. Yeah. And Fraser Wallace, if you're still tuned in, mate, at this stage, fair play to you.
Yeah. I've not even got to Tommy Massey's stats yet.
Here we go. I'm ready. I'm strapped in.
Yeah, now this is based on our strike force. Obviously, goals can be scored by from all over the pitch, but actually, in fairness, most of our goals recently have been scored by people that haven't been a striker.
I suppose, fair.
But for those of you that haven't checked out the blog from Tommy, I'm sure Callum will maybe include it in the description on YouTube. We've retweeted it off the Twitter page, and I quote it off my own page. So Tommy was basically kind of having an insight into our strike force and where it's all gone wrong this season. Is it personnel or is it tactical? It's a really interesting insight, and I'm not going to kind of try and just read off his whole work, but I just want to take one of the key stats that he's mentioned. This season, before Saturday, we'd had 8 strikers we've used so far this season, and we'd scored 11 goals amongst that 8. 3 of those strikers are yet to score. Now, obviously, Michael Ruth did come on to make his debut on Saturday. I feel bad dragging him into this, so that will now make it 9 strikers used, 11 goals, 4 that still haven't scored.
It's very, very scary. And now that you've mentioned Michael Ruth as well, just while it's fresh in my head, point in bringing him on when there's 3 minutes of normal play to go. What is the point? What are you going to do in that time?
It's the Bruce Anderson effect.
Exactly, basically. But yeah, it's very damning of how just we've performed this whole season, and also of the levels of enjoyment us as fans have had. Not only not just watching terrible football, but the fact we're not even there, so we don't have that factor either. None of it's entertaining, and that is quite worrying. I wonder how bad it's going to get. I mean, if we've got anyone else to play up there, I don't think we can, but Ash Taylor will probably get shoved up there at one stage. Can we count him? Who knows?
Yeah, well, he did score a hat-trick in his youth days, so you never know.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
Desperate times. But, you know, you touched on it earlier. How badly was that game missing a Bruce Anderson? But I'm going to just before you answer, because I can hear people shouting at their podcasts or at their TVs, Bruce Anderson won't suit the style that we were playing on Saturday, would he?
No, he probably wouldn't. But then if there's a few chances, I think if it was him they fell to instead, he still would have probably buried them.
And I'm looking at the Camberi chance, and that's probably the one
and
you're
thinking
of.
And the Hendry one as well. The Hendry one as well. Okay, that was a bit unfortunate. It was a bit of headman, but I think...
I don't even remember that chance.
Shout at him, everybody. Shout at him. He wasn't paying attention.
I really don't remember it because, to be honest, I thought we'd got rid of the ghost when Gary McDonald left the club, but we seem to have re-signed him in Callum Hendry.
Yeah, and we're saying that, but as if he didn't even score our last goal as well. We're talking this badly about the man who scored our last goal. That's how bad things are.
You know, we spoke about kind of looking forward to him starting up with Camberi to see if they could form some form of partnership, but didn't see that on Saturday at all.
Didn't even bin anyone either. Disappointing.
Yeah, it was a very calm performance from him. Mm-hmm. And what about Niall McGinn's performance then for you? Some people surprised, yourself included, to see him starting over Conor McLennan. Mm-hmm. How did you feel he got on through the 90 minutes?
That man's finito, isn't he? He's done. It's a shame because he's given us so many good memories, so many good performances over the years, but it's just sad to see now McGinn attempting to do things he used to be able to do, not being able to deliver crosses, etc., etc. It's a shame. It's a shame, but I would like to sort of see at this stage now, none of it's working. Give the young lads a chance. Okay, they might not produce anything either, but they'll be better for the game time, etc.
I was going to say, do you think it's kind of a sad state of affairs on where we are that we're struggling so much in terms of creative flair and in general in the top third that's why we're now heavily relying on Niall McGinn?
Yes, it is. Yeah, pretty telling. And also the fact it's not just Niall McGinn, and very much aging Niall McGinn. I think, was he 33 now, about to turn 34? I believe it's quite worrying. While I'm thinking of things, another thing I was just got a bit of a gripe. Start at home against Hamilton with three centre halves. What's the need for that? Flat four, bomb the fullbacks forward, get going at them, get the ball wide, get the balls in the box. Maybe some decent balls in the box every now and then, that would be nice. But it's just we're saying the same things every week, aren't we? Yeah. Yeah.
Your actions there remind me of John Hughes, get the fullbacks and go boom, boom, boom.
I love John Hughes. Get him in charge.
Speaking of creativity and a lack of, a creative player coming through the youth ranks that was recalled from his loan warmed the bench for the full 90 minutes. Ethan Ross, do you think there was an opportunity maybe for him to get some minutes on Saturday?
When it gets to 70 minutes and you've just watched us being so crap, like so bad, barely creating anything, let alone taking any chances, at that point, surely you just go, right, okay, give the kids a chance, give Ethan Ross a chance. He's obviously capable. We wouldn't have recalled him if they didn't think there was something there, some sort of potential, even if he's not quite the finished product now. I've no doubt that he's not. But what's the point in recalling him to park his arse on the bench? There's surely be better off playing, okay, it's at championship level, but getting regular football at Wraith rather than sitting on a terrible Aberdeen bench and not even getting a chance when we're still 0-0 after whatever, 70 minutes, even 80, given the 10 minutes. So poor. If you've not even got the belief in the kid to put him on for that, what's the point?
Yeah, and as you said there, even if we went to a flat back forward, get foot bombing forward, that's what Ethan Ross would have offered us. Someone that would go direct, pace, try to get beyond the man and get the ball in the box. Mm-hmm. Just something that was distinctly lacking throughout. And, like you said, just take the risk. Mm-hmm. McInnes was so proud in his post-match comments about it's another clean sheet. And I think we're potentially the best or second best of clean sheets in the league, but we can't get it right at the top end. Mm-hmm. So if he's got that much confidence in our back line, why not take that gamble?
Yep, exactly.
Like you said, it gets to that stage, the 20 minutes, 10 minutes to go. It's 0-0. Hibs are losing. Mm-hmm. We need to do something to take advantage of it. Mm-hmm. But, watching that game on Saturday, I couldn't help but think back to the comment that you made in the preview episode.
What was the comment?
About the urgency from Joe Lewis, the urgency and desire from the bench. Mm-hmm. It's just all so negative. And if it's just the acceptance of mediocrity that's rife throughout this club. And for me, I just couldn't help but think about Joe Lewis every time he went for a goal kick, just sauntering along it's a corner to Hamilton in the 88th minute. Who wants the ball? Which one of you want it? Oh, okay. Chuck the ball at the corner flag. Get the ball there so the referee knows the ball's ready to go. It's so infuriating. And, I think it's harsh saying, he should be stripped of the captaincy for it. Other people have got to step up and show some urgency and show some fight and show some desire. Not just Joe Lewis. I'm looking at your Lewis Ferguson, your Ross McCrory's, Niall McGinn himself as well, an experienced player that's been at the club for long enough. Considine. Nobody in that starting 11 showed any desire, any fight, any want to go out and win that game. Mm-hmm. And if they did, it didn't come across as soon as they crossed that white line.
And it seems like something so small, like just rushing to get the ball going again, whatever, anything like that. But the difference is between us and Rangers, when that was happening, they were level for so long, so late in the game, eventually got the winner at 87th minute. But they were desperate for it. They were desperate for those 3 points, desperate for the goal. Every time looking to get it moving quickly, bit of urgency, bit of desire. None of that from us. And that's why we are where we are and they are where they are. Not just the one reason, obviously, but it's these little things that add up.
Yeah.
Could you imagine, that seems crazy, but like a back four, even if you had Tommy Holman at right back, he's okay going forward on the right-hand side. Mm-hmm. He's on the left-hand side, then you've got Taylor and Consa in the middle. And then imagine Ross on the left-hand side, McLennan on the right-hand side with two up top, Hendry and Camberi. That would be crazy stuff. Could you imagine just going a little bit more direct, a little bit more sort of intention about the play? would have been nice. Even if you want, don't want to go too early with that, 15, 20 minutes of that, have a go. But no, it's fine. We'll just take on Michael Ruth with 5 minutes to go.
Forget your political campaign. When's your campaign for the Aberdeen manager's job?
I'll do it all.
It's just so frustrating because, you know, there's a lot of the word of the show that seems to kind of crop up, apathy, mm-hmm. amongst the support in the build-up in recent weeks. But myself, and I'm sure many others at full-time, I was angry at full-time for the first time in a long time at mm-hmm. what I'd watched. Normally I'm like, oh, well, you know, it was come to be expected. But just there was so much about that performance that, like I said, left so much to be desired. Mm-hmm. I just really was so frustrated mm-hmm. with the manager, the players. It just gets to the point that we just never capitalize on the opportunity. But I think as well, it says so much for the league that nobody's capitalizing on how bad we've been.
We're not capitalising on how bad Hibs are. Hibs aren't capitalising on how bad Celtic are. And Rangers have won the league in bloody March. That tells you how bad the league's been this season. There's no competitive nature about it, and it's terrible. But I agree with what you mean. At first, I started off angry, like probably months ago now, I was angry. And then I was just apathy, probably peaked at the Celtic game. And now it's back to, okay, like, I actually can't believe we've not turned this around now. This is genuinely terrible, and I can't believe we've not fixed anything. That's sort of mm-hmm. the timeline of events.
Yeah. And, you know, the irony of the Q&A being postponed to alleviate pressure ahead of the Celtic game, that's just looking more and more ridiculous as the weeks go past, because mm-hmm. we're still not performing to a satisfactory level for many of us as fans. Midfield, you know, a talking point for us many a show, we need to have control of the midfield, we need to show drive from midfield. For you, lacking again?
Yep, 100% lacking again, and it was very harsh. There's nothing against Dylan McGeoch, but to have dropped Dean Campbell, it's sort of very typical of us. As soon as he's sort of getting going, getting in his stride, looking a bit more brave, a bit more confident on the ball, looking forward a little bit more, making things happen, dropped for Dylan McGeoch. Brilliant. And then Ferguson and I think McCrory was obviously started like sort of like right wing back or whatever. I don't even know these days what the hell they're doing, but it just sort of seemed so turgid. I think like you'd said, no intent about the play, no drive, and missed Dean Campbell. So there we are.
And that's actually, I, you know, totally forgot about that, because it's such, you know, you spoke about, is there a need for three centre backs at home to Hamilton? Was there need for like your McCrory and McGeoch in that as like kind of holding midfielders? And, you know, he's been playing Dean Campbell against Celtic. Mm-hmm. So if he's more than capable of playing against Celtic, why is he suddenly getting dropped for Hamilton? Is it because he's young and, you know, he's maybe trying to rest him? Mm-hmm. But
it's didn't just, do that with Ferguson though, did he?
No, but Ferguson's your first name on the team sheet.
Mm-hmm. No, but I'm saying even back then, when he was at his age, yeah, when he first came to the team, he wasn't doing that. He was burning him out, whereas Campbell's finally coming onto a game, and then he's like, oh, you're dropped now against Hamilton at home.
So, you know, I'm not sure if there's like, you know, something maybe to do with appearance fees and contract clauses that McGeek's suddenly getting a run out, because that's what is certainly appearance at Parkhead stank of, because there was no reason to bring him on there.
Forgot about that.
But yeah, it just, like I said, you know, where's the desire and, you know, attacking intent? And for some kind of situation like that, that falls on the manager's door. But, you know, I've got here in the notes, I don't even want to speak about the second half, because as the second half went on, it was the scoreline and the way the game was going was about as inevitable as Celtic releasing a green and white hooped kit next season.
Yeah, to be honest, I can't even think of any topics in the second half off the top of my head that are worth even mentioning, to be honest.
Yeah, it's, I mean, you know, folk, I don't know what you expect us to say, because we've said at the start, it's the same, it's week in week out, same shite served up, just different team we're playing.
By Aberdeen, not by us, because we are the best, of course. I'm joking. But yeah, it's very difficult to come up with sort of new stuff today to say when you're recording the same podcast after the same performance every single week. So thank you for tuning in, everybody.
Yeah, and you know, I was angry at full time, and obviously I had a family commitment, so I couldn't do an instant reaction. So we're obviously releasing this now on Monday. And even though we have had kind of 48 hours to cool down after the result, it still makes me angry to think back to the game. And you know, Callum, just kind of things that we've spoken on there, kind of where was that desire and where was that hunger to go out and get that 3 points? Are they going to use the lack of crowd as an excuse? Could they use that as an excuse?
I think it would make a difference, yes, but at the same time, everyone's suffering the same thing. Everyone's in the same boat there.
And it's also been, 6-7 months now that they've had that, so I don't really want to hear that as an excuse.
Yeah, you've got to find your... It's what you're getting paid for. You've got to find it within yourself to... If you can't motivate yourself, nobody... When we're doing our jobs, nobody's cheating us on the whole time, are they? Make sure we do everything right. But it's just, there doesn't seem to be an end to any of this in sight, really, which is frustrating.
No, although you never know, change could bring about some new ideas, is all I'm saying.
Don't be so ridiculous.
But, you know, I look at, like we've touched on there, the players on the field. Did you see on Saturday any sort of passion or urgency as the game progressed into the last 20 minutes, you know, kind of that time where you'd be looking at the home team to kind of get into the ascendancy and just to be battering on the door to try and get a goal? But I don't remember seeing that.
No, in short, absolutely not. They look like they're playing how we are feeling sat at home, just like so done with it. They look like that, which is very, very bad. But I say, when it gets to that sort of 20 minutes, Hamilton holding on for 70 minutes, surely they're then sort of tiring a little bit. The concentration might go. You should be probing there, pushing for it even more. Instead, just nothing, absolutely nothing served up once again.
And that's when you should be getting your explosive, pacey players on to try and exploit a team that's potentially tiring. But when it gets to 70 minutes, Hamilton will be looking at the clock thinking, well, they've thrown, well, it felt like we'd thrown everything at them and couldn't break them down. Only got 20 more minutes of this. And, you know, it was something that Michael touched on when we were speaking to him in the Hibs episodes about playing teams fighting for something. And that's what we were doing. And they were holding on to what could potentially be a precious point for them in their fight to survive. But we're fighting for third place, which potentially brings guaranteed group stage football in Europe. This team don't deserve that.
No, no way. Right. Do Hibs either? No. Neither of us deserve it. That's the thing. Right now, but I'm sure one of us will somehow end up with it. But it doesn't look like we're a team playing for third place and possibly guaranteed group stage football. I'm of the opinion we should just give it to Ross County, guarantee them safety in the league and save the Mallard.
But, you know, speaking on kind of the end of the season, this lack of everything I've said, you know, even hunger to go and get third place, because that was severely missing. I just feel that we're sleepwalking into the end of the season. We say we've got 6 games to go. That's just in the league. They've decided, obviously, that the Scottish Cup is going to come back. I just feel that that's going to end an absolute disaster for us as well.
Yeah, as soon as we draw a team that's sort of half decent, that aren't like part-time, it'll probably just be curtains, wouldn't it? That's the level we're at right now. Because can you see this team blowing away anyone? No. Even the last time we played Dumbarton, 1-0.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah, and Joe Stephen will probably be licking his lips at the prospect of Huntley getting their teeth stuck into this Aberdeen side just now.
They could give us a game, in all honesty. If they get past Dumbarton, they could give us a game easily.
Yeah, it's a good point. We don't blow teams away. We don't put our foot on the gas. We don't keep the foot on the throat when we get into a goal lead. We just sit back, you know, mm-hmm. you know, look back at Martin's statistics. It's 32 goals in 32 league games. There's no, we're not clinical enough and we don't kill teams off. You're absolutely right. And I just fear the deeper, if we go deep into the Scottish Cup, we would need
a miracle.
Yeah, or a St Johnstone type run in the League Cup, avoiding, I was going to say we need to avoid the Old Firm, but we couldn't even beat St Mirren in the League Cup.
Yeah, that's what, that's what I'm saying. As soon as it's a team that doesn't have any part-timers, we're toast.
It's just, yeah, I think the sooner the season is done, the better, because it's not great.
Yeah, it'll be nicer weather. We don't have to get really sad on Saturday afternoons watching Aberdeen at home. Let's go out in the garden, whatever. Maybe things will be open. Who knows? In Calibrite, Scotland, they will be. Hashtag both votes Calibrite. But
and the Euros will be on, and yeah, it'll be all exactly. good.
Good times are coming around again. Got Tom Grennan tickets. Great stuff.
Yeah, Jack Grimmer didn't supply them though, did he?
No, he didn't. But I messaged him just to say, see you there. Started. Just be nice.
Yeah, keep the friendship going.
Put our pass behind us after he slagged me off after the Celtic episode.
So for those of you that have still stuck with the podcast to the better end of this episode, like we said, we did want to kind of produce a bit of a lighter ending because it has been grim reviewing the weekend's fixture. Mm-hmm. And one of the ideas that we came up with was kind of like a mock the week style.
Mm-hmm.
And they do a segment, if this is the answer, what is the question?
Mm-hmm.
We didn't realise how hard it would actually be to come up with some ideas for that.
Mm-hmm. But we will. So I think we've got a couple each maybe, but it's another good thing for some audience interaction. Let us know yours in the comments down below or tweet us at @RTG_podcast. Got it right.
Yeah. Len, and take it away. Obviously, they're not real answers. This is just our answers.
Just a joke. Just a joke.
Yes. So, Callum, if the answer is watching Aberdeen, what is the question?
What's the last thing I do before gouging out my own eyeballs with a spoon? what are yours?
Name me something worse than watching paint dry.
Oh, that's one that's watching Aberdeen. You sprung that on me. I didn't know that one was coming. Something worse than watching paint dry, just watching Aberdeen. Yeah, it's pretty straightforward.
Yeah, Keith Monroe did text me a submission. His was scientists' latest cure to insomnia.
Oh, so what are Aberdeen Football Club? That would be the question.
Watching Aberdeen is the cure to insomnia.
Oh, right, okay. I've confused this format already. This has been a disaster. I hope you're enjoying at home.
Like I said, it was harder to come up with stuff than we actually thought when we decided to try and lighten the mood a bit. But yeah. I'll just get Chris Hughes on to do a bit of rapping.
Oh, yeah, that's a good reference. I thought you were a bit too old for that, no offence.
Wow, it's definitely taken. Well, there's going to definitely be people that don't watch Love Island that have no idea what we were just speaking about.
Yeah, it'll be fine though. I mean, if you can might watch that on Saturdays instead of watching Aberdeen, to be honest.
Yeah, might need to clip that up, you know, that'd be a bit of extra content.
I'll find it and I'll put it in now.
Do you want me to rap anyone, lift a mood a bit?
No, we don't.
Right, so second question then.
Mm-hmm.
Well, second answer.
Mm.
Derek McInnes is manager of the month. What is the question? Or what is the statement, let's say, because it's just going to be confusing.
What is the question? Mine would be, what's the last thing to happen before hell freezes over? That's a little thinker for you there.
Well, mine are, like I said, it's more statements. Mm-hmm. The year is 2030 and Aberdeen have scored in consecutive games. Derek McInnes wins manager for the month.
I think that would be worth it, to be honest. If that happens anytime soon, give him everything. Give him the keys to the city.
Well, you know, if we just score, I think we might see similar scenes that we saw in Glasgow last night, because apparently that's perfectly acceptable.
It's allowed, apparently, yeah. Let's not get into it.
Lockdown is officially over.
Let's not get into it.
Yeah, so yeah, we won't get into the last night's events then.
No, I think, but it's just not. To be fair, though, I mean, imagine Aberdeen won something.
It's only been, well, it'll be coming up to 7 years since we last won a trophy.
Not that we're bitter or annoyed about it or miserable as hell.
No. And, you know, it's maybe a good thing that we do have a little break coming up before the Dundee United game, just to kind of, maybe as fans, regroup, but more importantly, hopefully the players can regroup and are actually spending time on the training park working on things.
It would be nice, and God knows they need it. I mean, we need the break. They don't deserve the break, though. That's the level we're on.
No, but we will be back before the Dundee United game, just to kind of do a brief preview, obviously, updated team news. Actually, that has meant I've missed a point, so I'll bring it up briefly. McInnes had mentioned that Fraser Hornby's injury was not as bad as first feared, so maybe there is going to be the end to our, or answer to our lack of goal scoring problems.
We can but hope, but he wasn't the answer first time round, but he did have his best 15 minutes in an Aberdeenshire before getting injured, so fingers crossed. Yeah. I mean, we've got to cling on to every last hope we've got, and that's probably it.
Absolutely, but we'll be back trying to provide some more hope and optimism, maybe. I might not be as optimistic with my score prediction, but yeah, thanks for tuning in.
Thank you very much, and don't forget to subscribe, follow, etc., wherever you are tuning in.